Amen. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate that. And we thank God for His amazing grace. His grace is sufficient. And I thank the Lord for His grace. Let's take the Word of God this morning. We will go to the New Testament, to the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter number 15. Matthew chapter 15. It's good to see everybody here. So thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord and for His goodness in our lives. The weather has been pleasant. One day it's 60, one day it's 80, so it's kind of nice, you know. And I was told when we moved here to Ohio, they said, Pastor, if you don't like the weather, just wait a while, all right? And that has seemed to be the case a little bit, but I'll take what the Lord gives us. For many weeks now, I have been journeying in the book of Hebrews, speaking about our faith. Well, today we're going to talk about the same thing, but we're going to kind of take a detour just a little bit. I pray that it's a divine detour and that we are now in the book of Matthew. And this morning, I want to preach to you about a woman. The Bible does not give us her name. We only know her as a Syrophoenician woman. But the Bible clearly marks about this woman's life that she had great faith. In fact, when I read the story, it is that the Lord has found great faith in a place where we would think He would never find great faith. And this morning, I want to preach on this subject, great faith in an unexpected place. Do you know so often in our Christian lives, we have preconceived ideas of how God is going to work. We have preconceived ideals of where God is going to work and how God is going to work. Well, Matthew 15 gives us a story to where in the first part of the story, Jesus is with the religious leaders. And you know what He finds there? No faith. He doesn't find faith. He only finds hypocrisy. But then He comes to a town where there is not supposed to be great faith there, but He finds a woman of great faith. This morning, great faith in an unexpected place. Let's come to Matthew chapter 15. We'll begin in verse number 1. And may the Lord help us this morning. Matthew 15, verse number 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying. Now, by the way, these scribes and Pharisees, these were the religious people of the land. They were known and respected. But look what they said in verse 2. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But He answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And He called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came His disciples and said unto Him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But He answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto Him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are you also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Now, we're going to read on here in just a moment. And you say, well, that's the story. Oh, that's just the beginning of the story. This whole scene has taken place where Jesus is there and the Pharisees and the scribes, they are offended because Jesus did not speak in political correctness during that day. And they are offended by what he is saying. They are so concerned about the tradition of the day that they fail to obey the commandment of God. And it almost appears that Jesus is weary of their hypocrisy and he moves from there to another place. Now understand, the disciples are watching all of this happen. In a place where there is supposed to be great faith and great trust in God, you know what Jesus finds? He finds men that speak well with their mouths, but the Bible says their heart is far from the Lord. Far from the Lord. And then let's read on here, verse number 21. The Bible says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You know something, when I see this story here, I'm reminded of great things of what God is doing. In fact, I believe that this miracle, this story here, is a miracle to show us of what the Lord can accomplish in our lives. Now think about it just for a minute. Here is Jesus and he is with his disciples and he goes to an area where, I mean, these people are supposed to be the best of the best. These are the scribes, the Pharisees. They know more about scriptures than anyone else. And yet we find these men only criticizing the Lord Jesus. We find these men asking, why do your disciples not wash their hands before they eat? Is that not something? They tried to find something little, something of tradition, and Jesus brings them to the very heart of the matter. And I love this verse where the Bible says this. Would you notice in verse number 8 of Matthew chapter 15, it says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Do you know that there are still folks today just like that? Oh, they speak great things about the Lord. They act somewhat like a Christian. They talk like a Christian, but their heart is far from the Lord. Their heart is far from Him. And the Lord is dealing and He is showing His disciples that where there was supposed to be great faith, He did not find great faith. But then in the land of Canaan, a heathen land where people who did not know God, here was a woman, a Syrophoenician woman, who the Bible says, as Jesus spoke to her, and he said to her, look in verse number 28, he said, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Can I ask you a question this morning? Can the Lord Jesus say that about your life? Great is thy faith. Now, as we think about this story, I want to show you some things here. I pray that God would help us in a special way. But here are these disciples. I believe the Lord is showing His disciples many great lessons. And one lesson is that where they did not expect to find great faith, God had a work to do in that area. You know, so often, as I said before, we have preconceived ideals. We think, well, this is where the Lord is really going to do a great work. But folks, may I remind you that God is always at work. And He is working in the lives of others. In fact, folks, God has not called us to be soil samplers. We are to simply sow the seed. I think if the disciples had went there on their own into that land of Canaan, they would have said, oh no, we don't need to witness here. We don't need to preach the gospel here because these are the heathen and there is no great faith here. But Jesus on purpose went to that area. In fact, I believe He traveled a great distance to come to one woman who had a tender heart, who was willing to hear and to receive the word of God. The Lord was at work in her life. You know something, all of us, God has not called us to sample the soil and to make sure that it's a good place to give out the gospel. Folks, we are simply to give out the gospel wherever we go. And you know something, wherever we go, we are to tell everyone that Christ is the only way to heaven. There are not many ways to heaven. It is only through Jesus Christ. Amen. And we are to share the gospel. In fact, the Lord knows where the fertile soil is. He knows where hearts are ready to receive the word of God. It is not for us to say, well, we don't need to give the gospel there. No, we are to give the gospel and let the Lord do His work. You see, the disciples, they thought, where could there be great faith? But Jesus found great faith. Now, I want to bring you a caution today before we get into this. You know, something I think is very dangerous for Christians that have been going to church for many years. I think it's wonderful. I pray that you stay in church and you're faithful to the Lord. But we need to be very careful to keep a tender heart before God. If we get to the place to where we come to church and think, well, I've heard that before. I don't need that. Or if we get to the place where we think, well, you know what? So-and-so that's not here today, they really need this message right now. That's a dangerous place to come in life because it is an indication that our heart is becoming hard. God wants us to keep a tender heart before the Lord. And by the way, most of us know the Christian cliches to use, but I wonder today, do they come from the heart? Are we really seeking the face of God? Do we really know the Lord? Do we love Him and worship Him? Here was a group of religious leaders. They were well respected in society as the great religious people. But you know what the Lord found among them? Hard hearts. You know what He found among the religious leaders? He found that they drew nigh to the Lord with their mouth, but their heart was far from Him. And let's be honest today, every one of us here, we have drew nigh to the Lord with our mouth when our heart has been far from Him. And may God help us to know and help us to understand today that that is a danger for every Christian here, that we can speak all kinds of great things when our heart is far from the Lord. I want you to notice number one today, as we find great faith in an unexpected place. Number one, I want you to notice the request of this woman. She requested something of Jesus. Now here is a mother who loves her daughter. It's almost indicating that this is the only daughter, the only child that she has. And here she comes to Jesus, and I want you to notice what she says. It almost seems to be maybe the wrong pronoun that she is using, but it's the right one. Look back at verse number 22. The Bible says, here is a woman, and the Bible says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, have mercy on, look at the next word, me. Why did the woman not say, Lord, have mercy on my daughter? Lord, have mercy on us. But instead, the woman said, have mercy on me. The very thought there was, Lord, this illness that my daughter has, I have entered into this with her. I am so identified with the need of my daughter that, Lord, have mercy on me. I think every parent here would understand that anytime your child is sick, you'd rather take the sickness yourself. And when your child is hurting, you are hurting. And when your child is sorrowful, there is sorrow in your heart. That is compassion. You know, compassion is entering into the need of whomever is hurting. In fact, the Bible says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. You know what? This woman made a difference, not only in her child's life, but in her own life. And she made a difference around her because she had compassion. She so identified herself with the need of her daughter that when she came to Christ, she said, have mercy on me. In fact, three times she did this. She said, Lord, have mercy on me. In fact, folks, can I say this to you? It is one thing to be so troubled about your child's needs it's one thing to be troubled about our child's needs, one of our children's needs. But it is another thing to believe that God and God alone can meet the needs of your children. You know what? It's one thing to look at the world and to be so troubled by the world's needs. But it is quite another thing to believe that God and God alone can meet the needs of our world. It's one thing to be troubled about the needs of our family or the needs of a loved one. But it's another thing to put our trust and our faith in God and believe that He is able to meet that need. That's what this mother did. The mother said, Lord, have mercy on me. In fact, this woman was so burdened, but it was not her burden for her daughter, simply put, but it was her faith and her belief in the Son of God that caused her to go to Jesus Christ. You know something? All of us today, we have burdens, do we not? I believe every person here, we have great burdens in our heart. We have great needs. But are you going to Jesus to meet that need? Or are you just trying to meet the need on your own? Are you trying to find some answer for your own? Here is a woman who had such a tender heart. She was so burdened. Can you see the daughter in your mind? I picture this little girl as a beautiful little girl. A girl that just, she was the apple of her mother's eye. A girl that had so much joy and so much happiness to her mom. But now the Bible says she has a devil. We don't know exactly what all that insinuated, but the Bible simply says she had a devil. And no doubt she was vexed with this. And here is a mom that comes to Jesus, and it's not just her burden, it is her faith in the Lord that brings her to Jesus Christ. That is why the Lord said, oh woman, she is of great faith. You see, folks, today, so often, we spend so much time talking about the needs of the world and so much time talking about the problems around us. And even individually, we spend so much time talking about our needs and our problems and our weaknesses. But we spend so little of our time bringing our burdens to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's easy. And by the way, if you listen to most news and listen to many people talk today, anybody can talk about all the problems in our society. Anybody can talk about all that is wrong with America or all that is wrong with someone else. But where the faith comes is when that brings us to Jesus and we fall on our faces before the Lord and we say, God, have mercy on me. Can I tell you, Christ was seeking this woman in her great need. And this morning, I want you to mark it down. No matter what you're going through, it might be physical, it might be mental, it might be spiritual, it might be financial. Whatever your need is this morning, whatever troubles you today, whatever bothers you today, whatever is a burden on you today, I want you to know something. Christ is seeking you in the midst of that need to bring you to Himself. That's what He is doing. And that is what the Lord found. The Lord found. Here, look at this group of religious leaders over here. They were trained and they knew all the right things to say. But can I tell you, Jesus became weary of their hypocrisy. And you know what? The Lord becomes weary of my hypocrisy. And He becomes weary of your hypocrisy. Look, let's all be honest today. There's a lot of things we talk about that we do not do.
There's a lot of things we talk about how that we know the Lord when we really do not know Him closely and we do not worship Him closely. But here was a woman with a tender heart. Here was a woman that didn't know all that those religious leaders knew. But she knew this. She knew that Jesus could meet her need. And that's why we find great faith in an unexpected place. You know what look, folks, God is looking and working. He is looking for those that have a heart for Him. I believe this with all my heart. I believe that God is looking for men and women, even young men and young women that have a heart for Him. And everybody else may have overlooked you, but the Lord has not overlooked you. He sees that. Listen, there's some of you that are praying and nobody else knows what you're praying about, but God sees your prayer and He hears your prayer. You may think that you're overlooked by God. You may be in a land or an area of your life to where you think you're unnoticed, but the Lord sees you and He will travel a great distance just to come to you to meet your need. That is the request of this woman. But secondly, I want you to see something that may shock you. We see not only the request of this woman, but the response of the Lord Jesus. How did Jesus respond to her? Let's look at it. Look what the Bible says back in verse number 22. And the Bible says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But look what it says in verse 23. "But He answered her not a word." Now, if you're not careful, you can misinterpret Scripture. And you can look at this and say, boy, look at Jesus. He seems to be rather cruel. Look at the Lord here. It seems to be that He does not care. But do not read that into it, because the Lord, He changes not. And His love and care for others never changes. Now, it goes on, verse 23, "But He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us." You know, the disciples were the ones who had the wrong attitude. The disciples were the one that had the wrong spirit. They said, "Jesus, get this woman away from us. She troubles us. She cries after us." But notice what it says in verse 24. "But He answered." Now, by the way, here's a very important thing to understand about this passage, to understand what Jesus is doing. In verse 24, He is not answering the woman. He is answering the disciples. "But He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, why was the Lord silent? And I want you to mark this down. Folks, when God is silent to our prayer, when God is often silent to our need, or He is silent to our request, it is not because He does not hear us. I believe with all my heart that the Lord heard this woman. He heard what she said. But why did He answer her not a word? Now, before I give you the answer to that question, I want you to know that the disciples have observed everything. They have observed the religious leaders. They have saw their attitude. They have saw their hypocrisy. They have saw that they're more concerned about tradition. They're more concerned about certain things than they are concerned about the Lord and loving Him and knowing Him and obeying Him. And now they have observed this Syrophoenician woman. They have observed this woman, and that the Lord answered her not a word. Now let me tell you this. The Lord dealt with this woman in such a way as to not hurt this woman, to not be cruel to this woman, but to cause her faith to grow until finally God could say of her, "O woman, great
is thy faith. Now let's study it just for a little bit. And I want you to see something that I think is very important to understand about this. This woman back in verse number 22, she cried, "Have mercy on me, O Lord." And notice what she said, "Thou Son of David." Now, why did the woman use that phrase? It's very important to understand why the Bible says that he answered her not a word. Because when she cried out to him, as a Jew would cry out to the Savior, this woman is not a Jew. This woman is a Canaanite. This woman is an unbeliever. When she used that, "O Lord, thou Son of David," he made no response on the basis of being the Savior of the Jews and the King of the Jews. Because that's the phrase that she used, "O thou Son of David." Notice here that when she said, "Lord, thou Son of David," he answered her not a word. But later on, when her faith grew, when she said, "Lord, Lord, have mercy on me, just on me. Lord, I'm begging you for your mercy." Then the Lord Jesus answered her. Can I say this to you? When he heard the cry of a lost woman, a woman who needed him, then the Lord answered her. Folks, the Lord was not being cruel to this woman. In fact, you may think, well, why did the Lord say in verse number 26 where he says, "But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." You may say, well, Pastor, is that not unkind? Well, understand, the word dogs here is not a dog of the street, all right? Now, I grew up with dogs, and my favorite dog I grew up with was a German Shepherd dog. I used to ride that thing around the yard, you know? I did. I was a cowboy for sure, you know? And boy, I loved that dog, and I remember where we lived, and her name was Susie, and she was a good dog. In fact, you remember the days of Avon where people would come to the door and sell Avon? Well, my dog was a good protector of me, all right? I just want you to know that. My dog was trying to protect me from any intruders or anybody like that. Well, the Avon lady showed up one day, and my dog bit that woman, you know? And she left our house, and that dog knew I didn't need no makeup, you know, and stuff like that. And but anyway, you know, that dog to me was very special. I mean, that dog was so protective. In fact, I remember when my sisters would you know, try to intimidate me and try to be unkind to me. And you understand, well, that's not really true, right? But when me and my sisters would get at odds with one another and we'd start arguing, my dog would start barking. And the dog would almost separate us. I mean, that was a good dog right there, protecting me from my sisters, you know? I mean, I'm telling you. But you know something, the word dogs here was not referencing some wild dog. The literal reference was it was to a pet. The Lord Jesus, in a sense, was saying to her, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to some pet, some dog, some animal that is just there. But notice what the woman said. Look at her faith in verse 27. And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Do you understand what this woman is doing? She is recognizing Jesus not just as the Savior of the Jews, not just as the King of the Jews, but she is saying, "You are the Savior of the world." She is saying, "You are my Savior, and I need you. You are my Lord, and I surrender to you. You are the master, and yes, I'm the dog, but the dogs eat at the master's table." You understand, she was showing her need for the Lord. And brethren, let me explain this to you. So often, we come before the Lord, and we bring our requests to God, and so often the Lord does not immediately answer our requests. And we might think, is God ever going to come through in my life? Is God ever going to answer my prayer? We might even think that He is cruel to us. But folks, it may be that the Lord is certainly going to come through, but He is working on our faith. He is working in our lives and working in our hearts to increase our faith, to trust Him for even greater things that we could have never imagined
that the Lord would do in our life. You know what He's doing? He's growing our faith. Here was a woman. She had a tender heart. But the woman only recognized Jesus as the King of the Jews, and He answered her not a word. You know what He was doing? He was growing her faith. He was intensifying her need for Him. And brethren, mark it down. So often in our lives, that's how faith works in your life and in my life. You know what happens? We go to God with a problem, maybe because of a loved one. We go to God because of a problem, maybe with a child or maybe with a loved one or something in our family, a need. And sometimes the only thing that we are interested in is the Lord just taking care of the need. Lord, just handle this need. And Lord, You're the Son of David. You're the Savior. You're the one that's all powerful. You're the one that you are the miracle working Messiah. That's who we believe that You are. But Lord is not satisfied with that request. He will answer us not a word until we just want Jesus and we just want Him alone. You see, that is where the Lord brought this woman. He is bringing her to the place. By the way, I believe that when this woman saw the Lord, I believe that after she drew nigh to Him, she saw something in His eyes. The Lord's desire was to help this woman. The Lord loved this woman. He wanted to meet her need, but He wanted to do something in our heart to do a greater work. I believe in a sense the Lord was saying to the woman, I love you and I'm going to help you. I know your need and I'm going to help you. Folks, can I tell you, that's what the Lord does in our lives. You know what He does? So often we have burdens and we have needs. And you know what we want? We want to just kind of go to like the religious bank and make a withdrawal from the bank. I remember years ago when my son, who now is not so young, Joshua, years ago I was with him in the car, and he said, Dad, let's go do this and buy this, you know? And I said, son, that takes a lot of money to do that. Now, I think he was 5 years old at the time. And to him, you know, what is money? I mean, it's just, you know, that's something we have. And I said, son, I don't have enough money to do that. He said, Dad, just go to the bank, you know? That's what he said to me. He said, Dad, come on now. I've got it figured out. Just go to the bank and get some more money. And, you know, you're trying to tell a five-year-old how that works and all that. He just thinks the bank is there for you. You go get money and whenever you need it. That would be nice, you know, if we had something like that. But I think that's how some of us treat the Lord Jesus. Lord, You can do all things. Lord, just answer this prayer and do it now. Lord, I don't have time to go on. But God often answers us not a word. Not because He does not love us. Not because He does not care for us. But because He is bringing us to Himself. He is bringing us to where we don't just seek the need. We seek the One who can meet our need. We seek Him face to face. And this woman is being brought to Jesus. Folks, the Lord in His response works with us so that not only does Christ meet our needs, but we learn to love Him. We learn to trust Him. Folks, do you understand how spoiled we would be if Jesus just gave us everything we ever asked for in that moment? We would never love Him. We would never seek His face. Our faith would never grow. I'll tell you how our faith grows. Our faith grows when we get beyond just wanting God to answer our prayer or answer our need, to leave it in His hands and to say, Lord, I love You and You are sufficient even if my need is never met. I wonder something today. Are we just concerned about our need, or are we concerned about the Savior who can meet our need? Are we just concerned? You know what? I've seen it many times. Years ago when I was a youth pastor, I've seen teenagers be broken before God. God brings something in their life to break them and to bring them to their wits' end per se. And you know what happens? Often, sometimes, when they get through that situation, when they get the answer met, then they never follow Christ after that. Because all they wanted was their need met and not the Savior. Brethren, the Lord responds to what we really need. You see, today, what you think you need and what God knows you need often is quite different. We think, Lord, this is what I need, and this is exactly what I need, and if you'll take care of this, then I will be happy and I will trust you. But that's not how it works in our lives. The Lord brings us to our wit's end. He brings us to the end of ourselves, to where we seek Jesus, to where we're not as those religious leaders. We might speak well with our mouths, but our heart is far from Him. Today, God is concerned about our hearts. He's concerned about our love for Him. Do we just know Him? Look here, when's the last time you went to the Lord and you didn't want anything from Him, you just wanted Him? Reminds me of the story of a pastor years gone by, and he was in his study and he was studying hard for his message, and his kid came knocking on the door and he said, yes. And the little child came in and she said, can I have a pencil, Daddy? And he said, yes, you can have a pencil. And so he gave her a pencil and she went on her way. It wasn't 10 minutes later, she came knocking on the door. Daddy, can I have a piece of paper? And he gave her a piece of paper. It wasn't 15 minutes later, she came knocking on the door again. And knowing that all she wanted was something from him. And he said, honey, I'm busy. Honey, I'm sorry. You're going to have to come back when I'm done. She came back 10 minutes later, knocking on the door. And he said, honey, I'm sorry. I can't give you what you need right now. Please, you need to wait. About a half an hour later, she came back and knocking on the door. And before the preacher, the dad, could say, honey, I'm sorry, she said, Daddy, I don't want anything. I just want you. Well, I'm going to tell you something. He opened the door and he held his little daughter in his arms and he loved on her and cared for her. And not only did he give himself to her, but he gave her whatever she needed. You know what I think sometimes, you and I, oh, I'm so guilty of this. We just want the Lord to hurry and meet our need. Lord, just get me out of this mess. Lord, take care of this problem in my life. Lord, so I can go about living my way. Lord, take care of this so that I can be happy. Lord, take care of this so that I can do my dreams. But you know what God is doing? Sometimes He answers us not a word. Not out of hatred, not out of unkindness, but out of love. And you know what I believe? He's standing watching us. Not because He doesn't want to give us what we have need of. Oh, He does. But He wants us to move from just saying, have mercy on me, thou son of David. I know that you're the great God and you can do anything. But to come and say, have mercy on me because I need you. Because I want to worship you. You see, this woman now, here she is. The Bible says, look in verse number 25. Look what it says in Matthew 15. Then came she and worshiped Him, saying, Lord, help me. That's where Jesus was bringing her, to the place of worship. Brethren, every one of us here today, do you know that God has made you to worship something? Every person here, no matter how young or old you are worshiping someone right now. It could be that you're worshiping yourself. We love to worship ourselves. I mean, men are lovers of their own selves. We love to worship ourselves. You might be worshiping a job or worshiping money, but we're all worshiping something. And the Lord wants us to come to the place to where we worship Him and say, Lord, help me. Number three, not only do we see the request of this woman, the response of Jesus, but number three, we come to the reward of her faith. The Lord rewarded this woman. He blessed her. I mean, notice what it says. The Bible goes on in verse 28 and it says this, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You know, the Lord rewarded her. The Lord brought her to a place of great faith. Remember what I talk about. Faith is placing our soul's confidence in the character of God. It is not just that we say, well, I believe God's able. It is that I know Him, His person. He is perfect. He is just. He is good. He makes no mistakes. We're placing our soul's confidence in the character of God. We're looking to the Lord. We're not looking to others. We're looking to Him. We're not looking to our resources. We're looking to Him. We're looking to Jesus alone, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's where the Lord brings us. That's why God could say of this woman, "Woman, great is thy faith." Because the woman was not to be deterred. The woman was not going to give up. The woman said, "Lord, help me. I believe that You're my Savior. And I believe that You are able. And I need You." You know, that's where God is working to bring me. You know, as a pastor, sometimes I have great burdens, things that I need the Lord, only Him to answer. But am I just wanting Jesus just to meet my need? Am I just wanting Jesus to answer this and take care of this trial and take care of this? Or am I just wanting Him to know Him? Folks, I wonder, have you gotten away from the Lord because you're just wanting your needs met or your trial extinguished or your problem taken care of when your heart is far from the Lord? The reward of her faith, not only did this woman have her daughter healed and the devil cast out of her daughter, but her faith was also rewarded. It grew. Now, I want you to understand something. When these disciples, at the end of that day, when all that had taken place, I wonder what great lesson they learned. You know what they learned, and it's what we should learn today, is that this. When these disciples thought about some place that does not hold a great promise of much fruit, or someone that does not hold a lot of promise of success in the eyes of God, God proved to him, to all of them that day, "Leave it in my hands, and I will prove to you that I can go to a place among these Gentiles, a place where you expect nothing, a place where I will find a treasure that you thought you could have never found." Look here, I believe with all my heart that what we think what God is going to do is often not what the Lord chooses to do. You know what we think sometimes? We look at someone that is so popular, someone maybe that has all kinds of degrees, and someone that is very well honored and respected, and we think, boy, if that person could come to know Jesus, what a great difference they could make in their life. And we hope and pray that person does come to know the Lord. But I want you to mark it down. That's thinking like man thinks. You know what? The Lord doesn't need someone of great talent and someone of great ability. Can I tell you what He needs? He's looking for a tender heart. He's looking for someone that will say, "Lord, I just need You. Lord, I want to know You. Lord, I want to worship You." Folks, may God help us to see that it is not the greatness of people or even the potential of people that the Lord is looking for. It is the greatness of our God and the fact that all things are possible with God this morning. Folks, today you may think, "Well, boy, so-and-so can do something great for God." Folks, anybody can do anything great for God, not because of what they are able to, but because of the greatness of our God. You think about this woman. I mean, they thought, here, coming to Canaan, we're going to find great faith. Oh, yes. There was a woman of great faith, and the Lord brought her to Himself. Now today, folks, there is no small work for God. There are no little people in the eyes of God. There is nothing insignificant in the eyes of God. And this morning, you may think of your life. You may think, "Well, I'm insignificant to God." That's wrong, because look at this Syrophoenician woman. You may think God is not concerned about my prayer and God has not answered my prayer. But look at this woman. And you will find that God is trying to grow her faith. God is working to increase her faith. Listen, folks, it is not that we should become greater in our eyes. It is that God should become greater in our eyes. In fact, John the Baptist said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." You know, the exact thing is true what our human heart wants. We want to increase. We want to become greater and greater. But God wants to become greater and greater to us in our lives. This morning, do you have a need in your life right now? Do you have a burden? I believe as I look out across this congregation, there are folks with so many different needs. If we did, and we won't, but if I could have everyone line up and come and speak honestly, most of us wouldn't do that, and tell about our burden of what is troubling us, can I tell you what? We would be shocked. You wouldn't believe the burdens that people are bearing here this morning. I don't know what those needs may be. I don't know all of them, but I do know this. There is a God whose eyes are upon you today. And that God is watching you, and He loves you, and He cares about your need. Listen, when God is silent, it is not that He does not hear you, or it is not that He does not love you. It is not that He does not care for you. Oh, listen, He loves you. His eyes are upon you full of love and compassion and mercy. But He wants you to get beyond the Son of David to just, Lord, I love you and I want you. And I want to know you. Folks, listen, it's not playing a game with God. It's not manipulating God. It is getting to the place where it's you and Jesus. And you just want Jesus. You just want to know Him. We see great faith in an unexpected place. May God help us today. Maybe you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior. I want you to know something. God loves you and He looks upon you this morning. And if you will turn to Him, He will save you and give you a home in heaven. But today, if you're here and you are a Christian, but you have great burdens and trials, and the devil has convinced you that the Lord doesn't hear you and doesn't see you, I want you to know something. He does see you and He does hear you, but He wants to increase your faith. He wants you to draw nigh to Him, and He will draw nigh to you. Great faith in an unexpected place. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven, I love this story in Your Word. Lord, on the surface we might think that it's much different than what it is. But, oh Lord, we know You. And You're the Savior who loves. You're the Savior who cares. And Lord, I pray that You would work in our hearts today. Help our people. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many would say this morning, Pastor, the Lord has dealt with me about my need of salvation. And Pastor, I don't know Jesus as my Savior this morning. But today the Lord has spoken to my heart and I know that I need to be saved. Would You pray for me? Would You lift Your hand and hold it up high? That's me, Pastor. No one is looking around. I just want to pray for you and help you. Pray for me this morning. I need Jesus as my Savior. Would you pray for me? Now let me ask you, child of God. How many would say, Pastor, I'm going to be honest with you. There's something in my life right now. I'm bearing a great burden. A great burden. And sometimes it seems as if God does not hear me. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, Pastor. That's me. Amen. Amen. Thank You for Your honesty. How many would say today, Pastor, the Lord has dealt with me that sometimes I've just drawn nigh to the Lord with my lips and not with my heart. And the Lord has spoken to me about my heart condition. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, preacher. That's me. Amen. Amen. Thank You. How many would say today, Pastor, the Lord has dealt with me. And I see this morning that He just wants me to know Him and to love Him. And that's what the Lord has dealt with me about. Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, Pastor. That is me. Amen. Thank you. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'd like to finish this prayer. Then in the beginning, we're just going to have the piano play. We'll sing in a minute. But for now, we're just going to pray and just have a time of the piano to play. And I want to ask you to leave your seat and come. Maybe you'd like to sit here on the pew. Or come and let the Lord have His way. Respond to Him. Father, thank You for dealing with us today. Lord, thank You that You love us.
that you are interested in our lives. Lord God, you know every detail of our life. Lord, help us not to just want relief or to want just to be rid of a situation. But Lord, help us to seek you and to draw nigh to you because you are our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The pianist begins to play. If the Lord has dealt with you, would you come? Let the Lord have his way. Dealt with you, leave your seat and come. The song is, "Have thine own way, Lord. Let him have his way. Yield to him right now. The Lord is speaking. Don't put it off. Answer him now. Seek his face." Amen. Would you take your hymnals? Let's go to hymn number 485. Let's sing it together. There's still time for you to come. Let the Lord have his way. Have thine own way, Lord. Let's sing it.
Have thine own way.
You can remain standing there. I want to thank you for your faithfulness this morning and thank you for the visitors coming. Just a moment, my wife and I are going to be standing outside out these doors, and we got to get this building done because can't stand out there much longer, you know. So for sure, you pray for the needs of our sanctuary. You know how remodeling is. You start something and then you find more things that need to be done. How many knows that's how that works, all right? Yeah. And so, but we're getting there. You pray for us. We need the Lord's help and His strength and His provision. And you pray for us in a special way. And I'm praying God will just guide and lead and direct us. Be a part of this revival starting next Sunday night. Come and be a part of it. I know it takes a little effort, but I know God will do a work in your heart and life in a special way. My wife and I will greet you on the way out. Brother Stevenson, would you come and close this in a word of prayer?
If you are going to practice with us in our tone chime choir, we will be in the Bearing Precious Seed Room following the service this morning. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the day that you've given us, and thank you for allowing us to come boldly before your throne. Lord, I pray that our faith would be strong, that we would trust you in everything. Lord, I pray that we would give our life to you, that we would let you lead our through our pathway, through our journey. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to be a testimony in this world for you. Lord, be with us as we go. Give us safety on the roads and bring us back for tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.